Hi, welcome to the Life Recovery Bible radio show here at City of Angels Radio. My name's Laura, and I'll be facilitating today's show. We're using the Life Recovery Bible from Tyndale Press. I'm hoping some of you have that and you can run and pull it out. Let's begin with a long form of the Serenity Prayer. Take a deep breath and leave outside, outside, as we focus on joining our spirit with God, our Creator. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living a day at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as He did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that He will make all things right if I surrender to His will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever in the next. Come, Holy Spirit. If you have a Life Recovery Bible and you want to follow along, we're going to read the 12 steps and corresponding scriptures now found on page A9 in most editions of the Life Recovery Bible. And that's, again, by Tyndale Press. So let's turn to page A9. That's A as in apple, 9. And these are the 12 steps and the corresponding scripture. The 12 steps have long been of great help to people in recovery. Much of their power comes from the fact that they capture principles clearly revealed in the Bible. The following page lists the 12 steps and connects them to corresponding scriptures that support them. This will help readers familiar with the 12 steps to discover the true source of their wisdom, the very Word of God. Step 1. In honor of God, I read the scripture first. Step 1. Paul writes in the Romans, I know that nothing good lives in me. I want to do what's right, but I can't. And that's Romans 7, verse 18. And that's step 1. We admitted that we were powerless over our problems, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step 2, the Bible verse, is from Philippians. God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. And that's step 2. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. The scripture for step 3 is again Paul writing to the Romans. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all He has done for you. Let them be a holy and living sacrifice, the kind that He will find acceptable. And that's step 3. We made a decision to turn our wills and our lives over to the care of God. Step 4. Lamentations in the Old Testament in the Bible. Let us test and examine our ways. Let us turn back to the Lord. Step 4. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step 5. This is from James. Confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And that's step 5. We admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step 6, the scripture is again from James. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up in honor. Step 6, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step 7, this is from 1 John. If we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. Step 7, we humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. Step 8, the scripture is from Luke. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. Step 8, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step 9, the scripture is from Matthew. If you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar and someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Step 9. We may direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10. The scripture is from 1 Corinthians. If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. Step 10. We continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. Step 11. The scripture is from Colossians. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Step 11. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12. The scripture is from Galatians. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I like to make a note on that verse from Galatians when it says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person. Godly there means if you know about God, if you know that God's the reason or solution or an answer, let them know God has helped you. It's not that we are godly and superior. It's that we know about God and we can share that truth with others around us. All right, so if you have your Bible, let's turn to page A14 now in the Life Recovery Bible. That's A as in apple, 14. And these are the 12 gifts of life recovery. And if you don't have your Bible, you can always order one online. You can just listen along. I think you'll still be able to get something from it, even if you don't have a Bible in front of you. But this is a special Life Recovery Bible by Tyndale Press. So these are the 12 gifts of life recovery. These 12 attributes aren't just results or outcomes for people in recovery, but truly they're gifts from God. They show that recovery doesn't merely provide escape from a destructive problem. It also points toward the possibility of a new and exceptional life in Christ. Number one, hope. And there is a scripture to begin with, and this scripture is from Romans, and it's hope. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. And that's Romans. The second gift of life recovery is power. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. And that's Philippians. The next scripture verse for power is, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And that's from 2 Timothy. Number three is character. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Galatians. Number four, the fourth gift of life recovery is from the 1 Corinthians, clarity. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. Sounds like one of the promises, doesn't it? Number five, security. Fear of the Lord leads to life, bringing security and protection from harm. Proverbs. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since He did not even spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else? And that's from Romans. And I want to talk about that first scripture, the word fear. Fear of the Lord leads to life, bringing security and protection from harm. Fear in this sense of the scripture isn't the same kind of fear that we might have that is often the root of all of our problems. But fear here is a respect, a reverence. A reverence of God leads to life, bringing security and protection from harm. Respect what he has told us in the word especially. So it's different than our regular definition that we know of fear. And that was security. So number six is abundance. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. And that's Philippians. Number seven is wisdom. This is the seventh gift of life recovery, is wisdom. And this Bible verse is from Proverbs. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. James says about wisdom, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Number eight, the eighth gift of life recovery, is self-control. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And that's from Romans. From Galatians, but the Holy Spirit produces self-control. And we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit in these radio shows. And the Holy Spirit is so important. I tell my CCD students and my kids that the Holy Spirit is like going to the gas station and filling up with power. God has left the Holy Spirit to us. Jesus left him here for us, and he's inside of us if we just ask and turn to the Holy Spirit, and we're able to have all these gifts of the Holy Spirit if we just ask and concentrate on them, because they're there inside of us, that Jesus left them for us here, the Spirit, and those gifts are all those gifts we just said, the Spirit of self-control, the Spirit of patience, of kindness, of joy, of peace, of love. All we have to do each day is ask, you know, Holy Spirit, let me be these things. I know it's inside of me and it's possible because Jesus left you here, the Holy Spirit, for me to use. So number nine is freedom. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up in slavery to the law. And that's Galatians. And that's freedom. Number 10 is happiness. Make me walk along the path of your commands, for that's where my happiness is found. And that's Psalm 119. The hopes of the godly result in happiness, but the expectations of the wicked come to nothing. That's Proverbs. Number 11 is serenity, the 11th gift of life recovery, serenity. We all want this one, right? I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. And that's Romans 8. And the 12th gift of life recovery that we get from God is peace. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. John 14. All right, so at the beginning of each one of these shows, I'm going to go over the corresponding scriptures with the steps, and then I'm going to review these 12 steps or these 12 gifts of life recovery. And after a while, they'll just be on your brain and you'll remember them. An example is one of my daughters. One of my friends' sons is running into all these problems and trials. And so I was able to say to her, that means, you know, he's going to have that confident hope of salvation and really be able to serve God well, because number one was we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials because we know they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. And so it's just so comforting, and that's why, you know, we're supposed to be in the Word, so we get the truth and we hear the truth and we have hope and we can revert back to the Scripture and have that hope when trials come up each day, you know, during our day. So If you have your Bible, I just wanted to point out that on page A15, and that's A as in Apple 15, there's a user guide. So you can just look at this user guide anytime, and it has different reading plans. So you don't need to know anything about the Bible at all. You can just follow. They'll say, go to page 25, and then it tells you, it explains it all. And then you go to the next page that it tells you to go to. So there's different ways to read this Bible. And you can either do the 12-step reading plan, you can do a recovery principle reading plan, or you can do the Serenity Prayer reading plan. You can also go into the front or back of this Bible and look up different words in the indexes. You can look up verses. It's a very easy to use Bible, and it's written just for those of us in recovery. And that means that the footnotes are specific to recovery, and it's just a beautiful, wonderful, wonderful resource. So today, we're going to go ahead and start on the 12-step reading plan. And that begins on page 25 if you have your Bibles. And I believe that's all we're going to do today. We're just going to do one reading, and then we'll close with the Lord's Prayer. And as these shows or recordings evolve, perhaps we'll get some feedback from you listening. Maybe we'll have some guests in here and we can all do this study together. This certainly is not the Laura Show. This is a community of sharing in the Word and recovery together. So we're open to hear back from you, any feedback you have. You can always send feedback to my personal email address, which is LLS Campanile, and that's C-A-M-P-A-N-I-L-E. Again, LLS Campanile, campanile@gmail.com. With any suggestions, comments, questions about the Bible, I've been leading these Bible studies for a while, and there's no question that's stupid. If you want to get closer to God and you want to be in the Word, ask me. Just ask me, because we haven't been taught to read the Bible, and you know, there's a lot of questions, and I don't know everything. Also, Googling up questions is, my kids say, search up. You know, you can search up any question you have about the Bible, and someone's asked it before, and the answer will be there. So we'd like to hear from you for sure. So we're going to start with step one here, and in our Bible groups when we meet together, we always have everyone say the step together. So if you want to do that with me, that's fine. So step one, we admitted that we were powerless over our problems, that our lives had become unmanageable. And that's what this reading is about. And it's in the Old Testament. So if you think about the Bible, it's one big love letter from God to us, to His people. And the Old Testament is before Jesus was born, and the New Testament is all about after Jesus is born. So the Old Testament is pretty long because after Adam and Eve came, there were many thousands of years of people that were led to do their to go by their own will instead of following God and God's laws and commandments. You know, when you see Moses who brought down the Ten Commandments and told everybody about them, the people had a hard time sticking to those commandments like we do today. But the difference is that back then in the Old Testament, they didn't have Jesus who had laid down his life for us as the final sacrifice and brought us all those messages of love and hope. And so we're so blessed and fortunate to have the New Testament. And so we have the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we're in the Old Testament today with this reading, and it's from Genesis. And it's 16, and it's chapter 16, verses 1 through 15. And I'm going to read it, and then we'll read the footnote, and then we'll read the little reading on the side here on page 25 that is about step one. So, chapter 17, Abram is named Abraham. So, whoops, that's the wrong chapter. Imagine that, I'm human. All right, so chapter 16, the birth of Ishmael. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarai told Abram, "The Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her." And Abram agreed with Sarai's proposal. So Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as a wife. This happened 10 years after Abram had settled in the land of Canaan. So Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress, Sarai, with contempt. Then Sarai said to Abram, "This is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me." Abram replied, "Look, she's your servant, so deal with her as you see fit." Then Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that Hagar finally ran away. The angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness, along the road to Shur. The angel said to Hagar, "Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from, and where are you going?" Hagar said, "I'm running away from my mistress." The angel said to the Lord, The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her authority." Then the angel added, "I will give you more descendants than you can count." And the angel also said to Hagar, "You are now pregnant and you will give birth to a son. You are to name him Ishmael, which means God hears. For the Lord has heard your cry of distress. This son of yours will be a wild man, as untamed as a wild donkey. He will raise his fist against everyone, and everyone will be against him. Yes, he will live in open hostility against all his relatives." Therefore, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord, who had spoken to her. Hagar said, "You are the God who sees me." Hagar also said, "Have I truly seen the one who sees me?" So that well, where she received the visit from the angel, was named Beer Lahairoi, which means Well of the Living One Who Sees Me. It can still be found between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar gave Abram a son, and Abram named him Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. So now I'm going to go down to the footnote there, which are written just for us people in recovery. And the footnote for that reading goes like this. When Hagar could not help herself and recognized her powerlessness over her situation, the angel of the Lord came and ministered to her. Until we recognize that our situation is hopeless without outside help, God waits and does not help us. But when we are ready to admit our need and cry out to him, he is ready to step in. So then over on page 25, step one, it's in regard to this reading, and it says no-win situations. And again, the first step is we admitted that we were powerless over our problems, that our lives had become unmanageable. Sometimes we're powerless because of our stations in life. We may be in a situation where other people have power over us. We may feel that we're trapped by the demands of others and that there's no way to please them all. It's a double bind. To please one is to disappoint another. Sometimes when we feel stuck and frustrated with our relationships, we look for a measure of control by escaping through our addictive behaviors. Hagar is a picture of powerlessness. She had no rights. As a girl, she was a slave to Sarai and Abram. When they were upset because Sarai couldn't have children, Hagar was given to Abram as a surrogate. When she did become pregnant, as they had wanted, Sarai was so jealous that she beat Hagar and Hagar ran away. All alone out in the wilderness, Hagar was met by an angel who gave her an amazing message. "Return to your mistress and submit to her authority." Then the angel added, I will give you more descendants than you can count. And the angel also said, you are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You are to name him Ishmael, which means God hears. For the Lord has heard your cry of distress. When we're caught in no-win situations, it's tempting to run away or escape through our addictive, compulsive escape hatches. At times like these, God is there, and He is listening to our woes. We need to learn to express our pain to God instead of just trying to escape it. He hears our cries and is willing to give us hope for the future. So I'm just going to end by saying this, that one of the last sentences I just read in the summary here is that we need to learn to express our pain to God instead of just trying to escape it. And for me, I need to remember and learn that every situation throughout my day, I don't call up someone else and talk to them about it. I don't, you know, curse that it's happening. I don't get mad and upset and have a hissy fit. I need to just turn right away to God and say, this is driving me crazy. Why is this happening to me? I have to turn to God immediately. And that takes practice. That's not our natural inclination as human beings. And especially me as a person in recovery, you know, I just want to go right to pleasure. I just want to go right to food or sugar or coffee or drinking or smoking or whatever it might be just to avoid that pain. But we have to train ourselves to turn immediately to God, and then it just dissipates. And another note on that is I was just telling one of my kids, I have 5 kids, I was just telling my son on the way to school today, you know, when you're in a bad mood, no matter how hard it is, you know, count the fingers on your hands, count your toes, just do anything you can to get positive and to be thankful. And I think we've learned that in the program. But just to turn to God, no matter if it's in thanks or seeking help or crying if we're in pain, just to turn to God, that's all He's waiting for. So we're going to close with the Our Father. But before I say that, pray that prayer, and I hope that you join me. I just want you to know that you know, the Life Recovery Meeting, our Bible, is intended to supplement, not replace 12-step meetings. We always encourage you to attend other meetings that apply to your situation or get the help that you need with a counselor or contact City of Angels or someone to get the help that you need. The Life Recovery Bible and reading the Bible is a really good step, but there are other steps to take in addition to get the help you need to have a full and abundant recovery. All right, so I'm Laura, and then we're going to close with the Lord's Prayer, and thanks so much. So let's take a deep breath again. And we're not saying these words, we're truly praying to our Creator. So try to think about each word. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, only as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
I cried to you from the depths of my wounds. You answered me in my heart it can do. When I knew your love was true. Ooh. it drew me into you. And the angels came to dance at the sound of our romance. Jump in and take a chance.
Touch the ground.